welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. My name is host Mike Jokum. Jess joins me right now. Mike Knapp will join later on. And even later on, Jake Neely, Patreon subscriber and episode sponsor, will be joining us. So we're going to do this radio style. Hope you guys enjoyed our Sage Karam episode that came out Tuesday. Hopefully we shall be talking to Colton Herta today or tomorrow, as long as Honda doesn't step in and schedule another engineering meeting. And we'll also be doing something similar to Sage with Santino Ferrucci, so enjoy that. And let's dive right into it. I'm going to turn it over to Jess. We're gonna take a quick back step here and talk about the wild Indy Grand Prix first.
All right. Well, first, I hope you guys are enjoying the background noise of the cars going around the speedway. It doesn't get any better than the month of May in Indy. All right. So let's just jump right into it. GP, I'm going to say this was the best GP that we have seen. What do you think?
Without a doubt. I think from the moment qualifying started until the moment the race ended, it was fantastic.
I mean, it was great. And yes, the rain did us wonders, but man, it was good to see some passes, see kind of a weird ending that no one really expected. It was just fantastic. So what surprises did you see?
Well, do I start with the obvious in Pagenaud coming back when nobody thought he would come back? I guess the biggest surprise to me was we didn't have an absolute, as Jess, you normally say, a hot mess disaster in lap one, turn one. Yeah, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle going on. I think that's the first time I've ever used that word in a real sentence. But it was a relatively clean race, minus the Herta and Hunter Ray incident. So that was definitely surprising. And in terms of finishing order, I don't have it up in front of me right now. Do you remember who finished in the top five? Let me go with my surprises. Jack Harvey finishing third, qualifying third and finishing third, and really, running with the big dogs all day. He didn't back down. He had that awesome pass at the start of the race to finish second, or to get up into second. Really hats off to Jack Harvey for that great performance.
Super glad you just stole mine. Jack Harvey was going to be it because you were talking about everything but Jack Harvey.
Sorry.
So thanks for that. I guess I'm going to go with Matthias Leist. I mean, who would have thunk it? Was it you or who was it that said that AJ Foyt Racing was going to be just a total bust again?
I think it was Tanner. Not to throw Tanner under the bus as he sits like 20 feet from us right now, but it could have been me, but I think it was Tanner. I'm almost positive.
Either way, whoever it was obviously incorrect this week. Didn't really see it coming, so I'm going to go with he is my surprise. I say I didn't really see it coming, but I may or may not have picked him in fantasy racing. Moving on. So, biggest disappointment. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say Herta, because he did so well going into everything. I mean, let's be honest, he's done so well with everything he's done so far this season. Seeing him have his little, what'd you call it, a kerfluffle?
Kerfluffle, yeah.
Having his kerfluffle was a little disappointing to me. I thought he would have a clean race. Obviously, I was mistaken. What about you?
I am going to go with James Hinchcliffe. Didn't qualify well. Nothing really fell his way in the race, finishing 16th. I think he qualified 15th. I don't think the Arrowsmith Peterson cars were particularly a threat at all at any point this weekend. So definitely disappointing to see. You expect these guys to come in and. Listen, they might not beat Penske, but at least be up there and be competitive with them. And this weekend, they were certainly far off the pace there.
Yeah, they were off the pace. I'm definitely not going to disagree with you on that one. All right, so moving on. We're going to get to our driver of the day. I'm going to go first on this one again because I don't want you to steal mine, okay? All right. So
I knew you were going to do that.
I know. I'm so mean. I'm going to go with Harvey on this one. I'm going to take him. Sorry. I think he did fantastic. He was up there. He was battling. He kept his position. And honestly, I believe he said this might have been the first time he actually raced in the rain. Not the first time he drove in the rain, but the right. first time he raced in it. And, I mean, you got to give him props for hanging on and being up there to podium.
Yeah, so thank you for going with Harvey. I wasn't going to go with Harvey. You guys keep trying to steal my answers in the last couple of weeks, and they're not actually my answers. So, yes, I, you know, as the other obvious one, which was the Twitter poll winner with 64% of the votes. So thank you to everybody who voted in our Twitter poll, which came out right after the race. Simon Pagenaud. You know, we've said he's on the hot seat this year. You know, he didn't have a great year last year, and he's 7 seconds down with zero push to pass on Scott Dixon. Scott Dixon, who has bad front tires, yes, but it's still Scott Dixon. And I can't imagine any scenario but the one that happened that Pagenaud actually comes back and wins the race. And all of a sudden, he's taking, you know, significant second and a half chunks of lap time out of Scott Dixon. So it was really amazing to see him, you know, not only win the race, but make that pass with no push to pass, you know, in the, you know, slightly rainy conditions. You know, wasn't anything too bad, no hail or anything, but, you know, just the little bit of rain and mist, and he's still able to get it done is mega impressive to me.
All right, so we are going to move on. I don't know if you guys saw it. I hope you did. I know a lot of people were retweeting and excited about it. Let's talk about the TV numbers. I've got it pulled up here. NBC reported 1.072 million viewers for the GP. I mean, that's huge. It says it was up 37% versus last year. I mean, that's giant. What do you guys, what do you think was the reason why, I guess?
Well, you know, the Kentucky Derby the week before had an IndyCar commercial on. Every time there was a commercial, there was an IndyCar commercial. The Stanley Cup playoffs, also on NBC, are really killing it with the IndyCar commercials. So I attribute, you know, maybe a good chunk of that to, you know, NBC really, you know, being more involved, you know, activating, whether it be having New Garden at the Kentucky Derby or, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking to Will Power on his podcast 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is a fantastic episode, by the way. You know, things like that are getting the more casual fan to start watching. You know, the F1 fans who can already tell you that the next morning Lewis Hamilton or Valtteri Bottas is going to win the race. Valtteri Bottas. you know, they're going, all right, maybe I'll check out this IndyCar thing. Which I saw a handful of tweets online. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but it's super awesome to see that at a million plus viewers that, you know, they came in, you know, respectably only a million behind where the NASCAR race was this weekend, which, you know, I know it's a million is a lot, but in TV numbers, that's you know, they've closed the gap significantly. So I think it will only go up more and more now that it's been exposed to, you know, such a wide NBC audience.
I'm going to throw in too that the local rating for the Indianapolis market was a 6.65. So that's also huge. I think a lot of that has to do with the weather because people didn't want to get wet. Everybody saw the rain moving in and decided to watch it on TV instead of come out. Don't get me wrong, really good crowd here in person also. Obviously TV is a little hard to translate that, but there was a very good crowd here in person, but the local rating was huge. All right, so my last question. Do you think winning this race, since Pagenaud kind of, you know, came out of nowhere to win it, do you think that is going to help him carry the momentum into the 500?
To a degree. I've seen a lot of people talk about this online, but you know, you have 4 days of practice and 2 days of qualifying and then another day of practice where your confidence from winning that previous race can go completely out the window if you really mess up. Now Pagenaud had a good practice yesterday, and looking up on timing and scoring right now, he's in sixth place. So he's obviously, you know, continued that, you know, momentum so far. Does it help? Yeah, I think to a certain degree, but I don't think it makes a huge difference either way.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with you on this. I'm going to say that it doesn't translate all that well to go from the GP to the oval. I mean, yes, obviously they run part of their lap on the oval, but it's not like they're running, the same kind of speeds, the same kind of mentality or anything. So I'm going to go with it. It's good for his confidence, but I don't necessarily think that it's going to help him. I don't think it's going to translate into a huge bump. I think he's going to have to get that through the practice these next couple days if he wants to go out and do well in the 500.
All right, so now it's my turn. Patreon shout-outs. We are going to go with the bottom half of the list. First off, our newest patron sitting right next to me, who you'll hear in a couple minutes, Jake Neely. Let's start here halfway through the rest of the list. Thank you to Michelle. Thank you, Mike Knapp, who's also sitting next to me. Mike Silver, who's sitting about 30 feet from us. Sean Crawford, Stephen Clark, Mr. Stephen King, Jess's dad, and Matt's new brother-in-law, Tyrone. And congrats, Matt, on getting married. I hope you're having fun in Iceland. I know the pictures look great, but this place is definitely better than Iceland, at least the racetrack. So we are going to jump right into our Indy 500 qualifying preview. It is Indy 500 preview time now. Mike Knapp joins us. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good. Good to be in Indianapolis in May.
I agree. All right, let's dive right into it. As Jess mentioned before, there are cars on the track right now as we record, so you can probably hear them, and you can probably hear Anders Krohn and Robin Miller and whoever else is on NBC Gold right now. By the way, NBC Gold is only $40 for the year if you subscribe during May. It's a huge steal. Great coverage. I watch replays of practice on at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. So it's definitely worth it. Let's start with the car changes. You know, there's all the new aero kits for the or aero pieces for both the front wing and the rear wing. And for those who don't know, I'll do this in about 30 seconds. There are three or four different pieces you can use on each side of the front wing, and you can use them asymmetrical or however you want. And there are two different size gurney flaps for the rear wings. So, lady and gentlemen, are we going to see lots of experimentation this week? Are we going to see some wild setup? And question two is, do you think these pieces will, you know, help alleviate any issues that may have come up from last year? Start with Jess.
I think that the pieces will definitely help alleviate the issues. We've already seen some close running, some passing, some good stuff in practice. I think it's gonna help them run together and have some good passing. As far as the setups go and experimenting with it, I think it's gonna be how brave they are. Honestly, I feel like maybe we'll see some experimenting from some of the guys running some slower times, but it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we see some interesting stuff, but I'm not going to bank on it. I'm thinking people are going to play it fairly safe.
I see a lot of experimentation going on this week, because the most important thing you have to be able to do is, number one, you got to find a car that'll go fast this weekend. Then you got to find a car that works well in traffic next weekend. So I think we're going to see a lot of different combinations with that, just to see, what the drivers find the each individual driver finds the most comfortable, because being comfortable in that car on race day is really important. So far, it looks like the changes they've done in both the tires and with the aero pieces, looking like they have improved things a lot more from last year. I wasn't here last year, so I didn't watch a lot of practice. But we all know what happened in the race, and part of that was because of the weather and the heat. But yeah, it seems like we're seeing a lot of long trains and a lot of passing and a lot of close running, and of course with toe and no toe speeds, we know that's a factor as well. So yeah, I think they really took a big step forward so far this year with what they did to try and improve the racing from last year.
Yeah, very well said, both of you. We saw a little bit of experimentation with it yesterday. I think this afternoon, so it's Wednesday as we record this, I will take a walk through pit lane and see if we see anything interesting. Moving on, another change that took place for the Indy Grand Prix was the AFP device, the little shark fin thing looking on the front of the car. We know most of the drivers have said we don't notice it at all when we're racing, which is a good thing. That's kind of what I predicted. I think I mentioned it last week or the week before, but some of the guys, their helmet is rattling around in the car because of the aero disturbance from it, which can be a little annoying. I know teams are working with some wicker bills on the helmets and mini windscreen pieces of plastic on the car to help that out a little bit, but do you guys see this as a problem, or is this one of those quick fix solutions? They'll figure something out so the helmets won't be jumping around too much in there. I know somebody yesterday, it might have been James Davison, I forget, actually taped over the aero ducts on the front of his helmet to help that out. So, thoughts, opinions? We'll turn it over to Mike to start this time.
I think it's just a temporary problem. I mean, you develop stuff in a certain way, and then you bring it and put it into real life, and there are some things that you can't simulate when you're developing a piece of equipment, that you have to just put it out there in real life and then make your adjustments from there. So I really see that being something they'll solve fairly quickly. I think that, they might have known it was an issue and they're still trying. I don't think it was just something that came up over the last couple of days. I think that they've probably known about it for a while, and now that we have a lot of cars running together and everything, that it's really becoming a known problem. So I don't know if they'll have it fixed soon, as in like by the end of this month, but I really think that a solution is forthcoming pretty quickly.
Of course they're going to find a solution quickly. I mean, that's just what IndyCar does. As far as do I think it's going to be kind of an issue, I could see it being an issue, but most of the drivers do specific neck workouts for pulling the Gs, so I'm sure that that's going to help them. They may just be a little more fatigued at the end of the race than they normally would, but as far as if it's going to actually affect them during the race, I can't see it, because they do so much training for these specific kind of issues, so I think it'll be okay in the long run.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to combine two of the next three bullet points on our list here. Mike mentioned the new Firestone tires, and we've just talked about the aero changes. Practice speeds right now are, trending in the 228s with a toe. Scott Dixon right now, as we record, is running a 228.8. And we saw, Will Power and Simon Pagenaud in the toe run a 229 yesterday. So speeds are up about 3 or 4 miles an hour versus where they were practice one and practice two last year. And I believe the best non-toe speed all practice week last year before Fast Friday was a 223 or 224. So we're right about there. I think that'll keep going up as the week goes on. We're not going to have any 90,000 degree weather this year. So speeds will definitely be increased. So with the tires and the aero pieces, has IndyCar done well? Jess?
Yeah, I think they have. I think just what little bit of practice we've got to see so far, I think it's going to be a much much more fun race to watch. I think there's going to be a lot more passing. I think people are going to be a little more racy in general. They have been during practice, and it's been really fun to watch so far. So I think they've hit the nail on the head on this one.
I agree. I think they did a great job looking at what the issues were. And one thing IndyCar is so good at is listening to feedback from the drivers and teams and the engineers in terms of development. So you knew they were going to really go to work on this. And I think we're going to go back to some of the racing that we saw maybe, you know, 2-3 years ago and in that kind of era since, 2012, when we really started to see a lot of passing and a lot of lead changes and everything like that. I think we're going to see that again next weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I think IndyCar did real well with the aero changes, giving, plenty of different front wing options, and just the overall reshaping of the front wing was a really good just the minor slight angle change to the front wing, and I know they changed the side piece of the front wing as well to make it a little more angular, but also Firestone wanted to create new tires that where the tire in dirty air wasn't causing any problems like it was last year, and both Mike Hull and Will Power, Scott Dixon has come out and said that, Firestone did a really good job. So, I know Dixon and Power were both happy with the test back in October or November when they did the first test on the new tires. So, great to see that. And we are back with Jake Neely, fantastic Patreon subscriber and episode sponsor. So, Jake, welcome. I'll give you a little bit to chat about the sponsorship, and then we'll dive right in.
Hi, well, thank you for having me on, of course, and sponsor for the episode. I work for Farmers Insurance. I'm an agent for more specifically the Ken Gaffer Agency. We sell out of Lafayette, Indianapolis, and then I actually work out of Fort Wayne, so we have a pretty good area of Indiana covered. So there should be no worries there for anything like that. And our biggest thing at our agency is educating the clients and the insureds. And an adage that we like to use is the term over and under insured, which 90% of people do not realize whether they're over and under insured when it comes to their home or their auto and insurance. And what we mean by that is your liability limits. So just keeping it short, basically it's just, do you have too much insurance for what you need, or do you have too little insurance? And that is a big thing that we try and focus on when we're educating people that we don't not only insure, but people that we're also looking to insure, and helping them in any way we can. And that's a big thing for us as we go forward in the future.
Awesome, man. All right, let's jump right into it here. Literally, as we were about to hit the record button for this segment, we have just seen Fernando Alonso go into the wall here Wednesday, midday. Thankfully, he is okay, but that car needs a lot of work. So, with that being said, first on the list, the big news, I think, right before Indy 500 practice started was Kyle Kaiser and Juncos Racing having zero sponsorship 12 hours before the first practice. Sponsor pulled out last week or this week, what have you. So the initial question I was going to ask, which has since changed, is are you guys worried that they're going to drop out of the Indy 500, which obviously, as Ricardo Juncos has come out and said, we're racing no matter what. If the car is completely white or completely black or completely green, we're going to race. Whether he makes the race or not, we'll get to later in this segment, but good for Juncos there. Jess, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Juncos, yay or nay, and I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I don't see them pulling out because they don't have a sponsor. I think they've been pretty fully committed to this for quite some time now. obviously a sponsor would help. I don't even see them pulling out if Kyle were to have some sort of incident in practice or whatnot. I think they will figure it out. I'm sure they've already got their spare parts already bought and paid for. So I think they're going to be in it as long as they can make it through qualifying.
I want to commend Ricardo Juncos to begin with, coming out and making that statement, kind of putting not only Kyle but the rest of the team at ease, because that's obviously not something you want to see coming into the month, having uncertainty, especially having 36 cars this year. You want to be as confident as you can and secure. But I don't see any issues going forward with this. I think, like he said, they're 100% committed. They ran pretty well yesterday, kind of where they were last year, and I think they're going to continue on the upward trend. Seems like they've got a pretty good package for Indy, so absolutely no concerns there for me.
Great, yeah. I agree. I think it was really telling in the post-practice press conference yesterday. Kyle Kaiser was up here, and he was like, listen, I don't care what's on the side of the card. I'm here to race. So it's good for him to stay in that mindset, even if he has to remind himself a couple times, like, hey, don't worry about what's on the card. Let's just go forward. So one announcement we can make now, and one we'll probably have to make on our social media later. So the one sponsorship announcement we can make now is the lap sponsor. Jess, what lap are we sponsoring again? Jess doesn't remember either.
No, I don't remember. Like 200, no, not 200 and something. Jeez.
Is it one in the 140s?
No, I think it's in the 160s now.
Okay. Well, guys,
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Look in the program. We're sponsoring a lap in the Indy 500. I don't really remember what lap it is. There is another announcement coming. Hopefully, by the time this episode is released, you'll see. We'll be able to post on Instagram and social media, even if we have to do a special announcement on an episode or on YouTube or something. Something will be out. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to jump into a fan question here. I saved it from last week. Thank you, Michael Goodyear, which is at M Goodyear 007. And we're going to put Jake on the spot here for the first time ever. Who is going to be the front row of qualifying, the first three, and what is your prediction for the speed for pole position?
For the first three, I'm going to go first for pole, I'll say Will Power. Second, I'll go Ed Carpenter. And then third, I'll go Simon Pagenaud. It seems like they all were pretty good, not only in traffic yesterday, but on the no-toe. And I believe the Chevys have probably a little bit of an edge, maybe not overall, but on the no-toe, especially just outright speed. And I think we're going to see the pole speed at 232 miles an hour this year, maybe a little bit of a high prediction, but with the increase in speed yesterday, I think we're going to see that increase, and also some cooler weather this weekend, I believe.
All right, so for my front row, I'm gonna be very similar but slightly different. I'm gonna say Carpenter is gonna get the pole. Power is gonna be second, and I'm gonna say Scott Dixon is going to be third. For my guess on the speed, I'm gonna say 2:30. But I'll even give it about a 2:30 and a half. I think that the weather is going to warm up quite a bit. Per my weather app, it's supposed to be in the mid to high 80s. So I think they will be slightly affected by that.
All right. So my front row is going to be third, as you hear the announcement that Fernando Alonso has been checked and cleared from his accident out of the medical center. So glad to hear there. My front three, third, we are going to see Helio Castroneves. Second, we are going to see Graham Rahal. And first and on the pole, we will see Joseph Newgarden with a speed of 231.774. Yes, I put a lot of thought into that last one and really just kind of picked at random on the list there. So Moving on, kind of switching gears here. I'm going to go out of order on this one on our list of topics. We've seen about all the liveries except for the Juncos one, which I guess you could call it one if you want to call it all white a livery. Your favorite and your least favorite Indy 500 livery right now, assuming nothing changes with some last-minute sponsor or whatever. Jake, I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Well, my favorite so far, and it's going to stay my favorite no matter what, would be the 98 car of Marco. Not only because it's Marco, and everyone that listens knows my love for Marco, the throwback scheme is just, I think, incredible, and I think they got pretty dang close to what Mario was driving back in 69 to celebrate the 50th anniversary. And then my worst livery, I'm going to say Felix Rosenquist, which might shock some people. But they did the cool color schemes on top of the side pods, but not a lot of people see the top of the side pods, especially when you're at the track. So I would have liked to see something that's maybe more of a little visually appealing on the side instead of on the top, instead of kind of just a white and blue on the side for NTT data.
So for my favorite, I am going to go with the 66 of Alonso, which now is a little bit less pretty than it was to start the day. I just like the funky kind of block numbers that they're using. The orange, of course, stands out. So that's my favorite. My least favorite is probably going to be a shocker also. I am not a fan of Joseph Newgarden's shell livery. I usually love the shell cars. I usually think they do an excellent job, but I am just not feeling this one. What about you, Mike?
It's funny you mentioned Newgarden. At first, when I walked by the car the other day, I went, wow, that's really cool. The more I see it, the more I'm kind of like, I like it on the V8 supercars. Maybe it'll grow on me. I don't know. I'm going to start with my least favorite here, Jordan King. And not just because Rich Energy is in trouble because they can't use that stag on the front of the car. But it's just you can't even see the gold logo on the front, and then it's just plain old black and white. There's no thought put into that one at all. Really, really boring. My favorite. I am desperately looking through the list of drivers right now here. Let me see, man. I think I'll go Connor Daly in the Air Force is definitely one of the top three. Colton Herta's green and white is really, really cool. Since we had him on the episode the other day, Sage Karam's Wix Filters car this year turned out really, really nice. Much nicer than it was last year. Last year I wasn't a huge fan, and they did a good job with it this year. So we will move on to everybody's favorite discussion this week. Our Patreon group chat has been exploding with this for quite some time. Who's in trouble? If we are going to predict the last six, and I'll put myself on the spot here first. Who's going to be in trouble for bumping? And let me just say that last year at this time, I predicted there's going to be a big surprise when it came to bump day. I still think somebody is going to get too aggressive that you're not expecting and is going to be in serious trouble. And it's too early to say because we are talking about practice.
I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
But, Pippa Man, who I don't think has even run today, 2 hours into the Wednesday practice, may be in trouble. I know everybody's favorite pick is Ben Hanley. I think the Dragon Speed team may find a way to pull it together. They've got some really good guys working for them that I think will be able to find just enough. Will he be in that bottom six? I still see it happening, but I think he'll find a way to pull through. Mateus Lice hasn't had a good 2 days so far. Man, my one pick as a if it was going to be a quote unquote series regular would be Marcus Erickson. You know, some of these rookies who maybe are a little more bashful on the ovals than they've been in, you know, these road and street courses so far. You know, he had that accident in the Indy Grand Prix, and maybe he just takes a little too conservative because he's not comfortable in there. But we shall see. I think those are my picks. I think Kyle Kaiser is going to be towards the bottom, but I think he will safely qualify like he did last year. I will now put Jess on the spot.
Okay, so I hate to use the word obviously, but obviously I'm going to go with Pippa Mann. I don't think she's going to make it in. I think that Ben Hanley is going to definitely struggle. I hope he makes it in, but he has his hands full. I think if I had to pick somebody who was a series regular, who might be struggling a little bit, I'm gonna throw one out there that's a little bit different, because he's made the race now. But I think Max Chilton might be in trouble. He has not had a super great season to get going with. Let's see. So I've got three more here. I'm gonna go with. I don't know. I think Erickson might be okay. I think Charlie Kimball might end up having an issue. Maybe he brushes the wall or something like that. So I could see him having some issues. And I'm going to say Jordan King, unfortunately.
That's the one I wanted to mention and I forgot about.
With everything that's going on behind the scenes with the Rich Energy and everything else, I think he's going to have a lot of things going on maybe outside the car that might affect the way he performs inside the car. And then I've got one more. Is that right? One more, I think. I really hope I'm inaccurate on this, but Kyle Kaiser, I think, is definitely going to be down there in the bottom six. I think he'll end up pulling it out, but I think he's gonna struggle a little.
All up to you, Jake.
Alrighty, so I've got my list made out here. No particular order, but obviously, as the other Jess and Mike have mentioned, Pippa is definitely going to struggle. I won't make predictions on who and who will not make the field, but definitely I believe she'll be in the bottom six. Just not only last year, but we've seen in the past she's struggled for speed overall. The second one may surprise people is I'm the only one that's picked him, and this was picked before he just wrecked, but Fernando Alonso, he's not been happy with that car from the moment they tested here a few weeks ago. And they just had that incident. So I don't know how much they're leaning on Carlin, but it may be time to start going more towards that technical alliance and figure out what's going on, especially now that they have a wrecked race car. Ben Hanley, obviously, that's a new team. So Saturday may be a little bit of a struggle, but then obviously you get into Sunday and start taking some more risks and anything can happen. Jordan King, as was mentioned before, he was getting freight trained yesterday in traffic, and he just doesn't look comfortable. He did not run the 500 last year, so he is a rookie. And if we think back to previous years, Ray Hall as a team has struggled for speed in qualifying. They've always made the field, but you've had very experienced drivers in Sato and Servia and Ray Hall that can trim a car out more than what I believe Jordan King is going to be willing to do. Series regular Marcus Erickson, he's a rookie. He's already wrecked here. I think he's going to be a little bit timid to take some downforce out. And as we saw last year, Schmidt Peterson struggled quite a bit to find speed. And yesterday, Hinchcliffe ran all four of their cars, including Jack Harvey's, and the best speed that was posted of any of that team was 23rd. So I think they're still a little lost. And then my sixth and final one would be Max Chilton. He just doesn't seem at any racetrack to be willing to take a bunch of risks. And I'm not, that's nothing against his character or his driving style, but I'm just not sure when it's going to come down to it who can take out more rear wing and just go stick it in the field, if he's going to be one of those guys that I would count on to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think we're all in relative agreement here. So, wrapping it up, I'm going to put you guys on the spot with an. I did not put this in our rundown sheet, but this is an easy one, or it could be a hard one. Who's winning the race? I'm going to throw. Well, listen, he's our guest, and we all know who his favorite driver is. So, Jake, you're on the spot first.
We go with Marco Andretti to win the race.
All right, couldn't have predicted that one. Jess?
I just gagged a little bit. Give me a second to recover. I'm going to go. This is too hard. Like, we're not even there yet. We should wait till next week to do this. I'm going to go with Carpenter. I'm going to say that he's finally going to get rid of that little, you know, devil on his shoulder, and he's going to flick him off and say, you know what, I can do this thing, and he's going to pull it out.
I'm going to go with a redemption story here and go J.R. Hildebrand is not going to stuff it in the final corner and win the race. He's got that sweet Dan Gurney tribute helmet and tribute number on the car. So Hildebrand's going to pull it together. And as a one-off, you know, I know a few people have texted me that there's been some one, you know, maybe a one-off a win this year. So Hildebrand is my choice. So with that, we will wrap up our qualifying preview. I think, you know, we're in for a good weekend. The weather is going to be, you know, low 80s, much better. And if you're looking at the long-term forecast for the race, it looks, you know, upper 70s, lower 80s, which is much better than 147 like it was last year. So it's shaping up to be a good remaining, 11-ish days or so. So with that, Jake, thanks for joining this last segment.
No, thanks for having me.
And thanks to Farmers Insurance. They are the sponsor of the week. And thank you to Mike Knapp for joining us. Mike ran down to take some pictures of the Alonzo crash. And Jess, feel free to go ahead and sign it off.
And guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
Here is your RaceCast weather forecast for Indy 500 qualifying weekend at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm meteorologist Doug Schneider. Saturday's weather at the Speedway looks nice and warm. It'll be mostly sunny all day, with no rain expected. Morning low temperatures will be in the mid-60s, with afternoon highs in the mid-80s. It will be breezy, with a southwest wind between 10 and 20 miles an hour. A chance of rain is expected to arrive at the Speedway on Sunday morning, and the chance of rain will be increasing through the day. Showers are likely in the afternoon, with some thunderstorms possible as well. The chance of rain Sunday afternoon is 60%. If rain occurs at the track, expect between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. This could cause some delays in qualifying. Morning temperatures will be in the upper 60s, with afternoon highs around 80 degrees. It will be windy on Sunday as well, with a southwest wind between 15 and 25 miles an hour at times. For the most up-to-date weather forecast, visit racecastweather.com or follow @racecastwx on Twitter.